Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. Let's listen to the Word of God. As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he asked them, "You see all these things, do you not? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Jesus answered them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Messiah.' And they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pains." May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of His most holy word. So a family was gathered around an Advent candle that they brought home from church, and they had made it a part of their Christmas preparation. Mom asked, "Who knows what the four candles stand for?" And with all the wisdom and exuberance of a seven-year-old, their son jumped up and said, "Well, there's love, joy, peace, and I know, his little six-year-old sister said, "It's peace and quiet." Oh, how nice it would be to have some peace and quiet this time of year. You know, most of us will spend a lot of time rushing around and hurrying as we try to negotiate one more holiday season this year. Most of it is quite a lot of fun. Some of it is not so much. You know, we do so much hurrying, so much running around that sometimes we just forget what this time of year is all about. We try to do as much as we can to try to make sure we're ready when it's time. And by the time Christmas morning does get here, most of us will be more than a little ready. So on this first Sunday of the season we call Advent here at Kirkwood Presbyterian Church, we specifically focus on the fact that Christ is coming. You know, just as Jesus came as a little baby in a manger 2,000 years ago, so Jesus is coming again as the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But the big question is, when? I mean, we've been waiting around now for almost 2,000 years. When is Jesus coming back? And we're going to spend a few minutes this morning reflecting on the answer to that question as we get started. Let's pray. Great and mighty God, so thank you so much for this wonderful day that you've made for us and all the promises that you have given us. As we reflect on your word and consider what it has to do with our lives, we pray that you will open our ears, open our hearts and minds, open our eyes so that we can see the wonder you have set before us. We ask in your precious name. Amen. So if you were here last week, you might remember how I talked about Advent is the official start of the church year. All right, so Happy New Year. Seriously, though, I mean, this next year here in the life of Kirkwood is going to be incredibly exciting. There is so much to look forward to. This next year is going to be filled with hope and promise. But out there in the world around us, how much hope and promise is there going to be? How different is next year, 2020, going to be from 2019? I mean, is there going to be any improvement, or are we just going to see more mass shootings, more lives torn apart by natural disaster, by war, by violence? Is the presidential election of 2020 going to bring any clarity and sanity? This world is a crazy place. And there are a couple of extreme ways that some people try to deal with the craziness. One is to just ignore it. Just don't pay any attention. Keep your head down and pretend that it's not that bad. The other extreme way that some people try to deal with the craziness is by obsessing about it. You know, conspiracy theories and ancient aliens and those kinds of things. Okay, and if it is religious obsession, it can be even worse. It can be a kind of mindset that tries to read current events in terms of signs of the times and fit it all together in a kind of end time scenario that tries to predict exactly when Jesus is going to return. And the Bible passage we just read from Matthew 24 is one place in the Bible that people point to try to make those kinds of prediction. It has been used in various times and places to try to establish exact dates and times. People have used it as a tool for manipulation and to make people's lives miserable. Okay, so it's extremely important that we understand exactly what's going on in Matthew chapter 24 so that we don't make the same kinds of mistakes. So I want to try to frame it just a little bit. Okay, so it's like probably Wednesday of Holy Week, the last week of Jesus' life. And Jesus has been teaching in the Jerusalem temple for about 4 days. He's done a whole lot of verbal jousting with the religious leaders, and Jesus has a pretty good idea of what's about to happen to him. So late in the afternoon, Jesus and his friends are leaving the city of Jerusalem. They're headed to a little village on the backside of the Mount of Olives called Bethany, where they're going to spend the night. And as they're leaving the city, somebody in the group makes a comment about the glorious temple. And in response, Jesus, from maybe a view a little bit like this, says, just look at it. You know, it's magnificent. Just look at it. Very shortly, he then says, it's going to be completely destroyed. And so once they get settled in for the night, some of them get to talking and they ask Jesus a couple of questions. And this is where quite a bit of controversy has arisen over the years. Okay, it's in this verse right here. And there are actually two questions in this one passage. Do you see them? Tell us, Jesus, when's all this going to happen? That's question number one. And question number two, what's going to be the sign of your coming at the close of the age? And so Matthew takes the entire rest of chapter 24 in his gospel and all of chapter 25 to tell us how Jesus answered those two questions. Okay, and the controversy arises over some confusion about which question Jesus is talking about in which parts of those two chapters. But like any good teacher, Jesus answers both of those questions one at a time in the order they were asked. And so starting with actually verse 4 in chapter 24, going all the way to verse 28, Jesus is specifically talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, which actually happened within about a generation. In the year 70 AD, about 40 years after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, the Roman army laid waste to Jerusalem and literally did not leave one stone standing upon another. This is a picture of some recent archaeological excavations in Jerusalem. The big standing walls are actually medieval time period. The rocks down on the ground are remnants of what the Romans did to Jerusalem. Not one stone is standing on another. Then, starting in verse 29 of chapter 24, going all the way to the end of chapter 25, Jesus answers question number 2. And in the midst of that answer, Jesus said something that those of us who are really serious about following Jesus need to repeat to ourselves over and over again. Jesus said, about that day and hour, no one knows. Not the angels in heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. If Jesus doesn't know when he's going to return, how can any of us ever presume to be able to figure it out? See, nobody knows when it's going to happen. We know that it's going to happen, and it's going to be completely unexpected. Right? The angel is going to blow the trumpet, all the righteous will be gathered together, and creation will be restored. That is absolutely certain. The uncertainty comes with the timing. If the homeowner had known at what time the thief was going to break in, he'd have been watching his house. That's what Jesus said. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. But be ready. You see, friends, it's not our job to try to guess when it's going to happen. It's our job to be ready when it happens. All right, so back in 2015, Forbes Online reported that billionaire Yuri Milner had just invested $100 million in a scientific search for extraterrestrial life. Okay, along with Stephen Hawking, you can see him in the background, along with Stephen Hawking, Milner announced this 10-year study that would utilize some of the world's most powerful telescopes. They called it Breakthrough LISTEN, and it focuses in on exploring the entire electromagnetic spectrum of the universe. You know, but trying to converse with the universe has been going on ever since, almost since the time there have been people on this planet. In his book, Breaking Through God's Silence, David Yount says, the quest for conversation with the universe is nothing new. The first man and first woman on earth looked up at the heavens in wonder for answers to their predicament. Who am I? Why am I here? What will become of me? Christianity has always proclaimed that kind of communication has taken place. 2,000 years ago, in a little village called Bethlehem, a little baby was born who completely transformed the way people can relate to God. The Gospel of John puts it this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we have beheld His glory. When we give ourselves to the glory of the Word made flesh, we are made ready. There's an old story about a wealthy father and son who found a great deal of joy together collecting valuable works of art. War broke out, and the son went off to fight. Just a few days before Christmas, the father received word that his son had been killed, saving another soldier's life. Well, the grief was more than he could bear. He could not bring himself to celebrate Christmas. He barely felt alive. But he was aroused from his grief by a knock at the door. It was a young soldier who introduced himself to the old man as the one whose life his son had saved. He explained that he too was an artist, and he had come to present the father with the Christmas gift of a portrait he had made of his son. Well, the father was overwhelmed. He hung the picture above the mantle in his study. It became his most prized work of art. Okay, so some time passed, and the old man died. And art collectors from all over the world realized that this would mean that the valuable art collection would now be for sale. And so on the day of the auction, they all crammed into the mansion for a chance to bid on the valuable works of art. But to their shock and astonishment, the auctioneer announced that the very first piece to be auctioned would be the portrait of the old man's son. "What do you mean?" There was a hue and a cry that went up from all the art collectors. "We've come to bid on real art, not some sentimental piece." And so nobody made one single bid. Finally, an old family friend purchased the painting for $10. At last, they all cheered. "We're going to be able to bid on the real art." The auctioneer, however, put away his gavel and announced that the auction was now closed. "What do you mean?" they objected again. "We haven't even bid on anything." The auctioneer unfolded a piece of paper and said, "It's very simple. According to the father's will, whoever takes the son gets it all." So this morning we have been invited to this table, the banquet table of the kingdom of heaven. It's not the Presbyterian Church's table. It's not Kirkwood's table. This is Jesus' table. And Jesus has invited us to come and remember what he has done for us. Jesus has invited us to come and remember the promise he has given us. He came once as a baby in a manger. He's coming back as the reigning sovereign of the universe. We don't know when it's going to happen. It's going to be unexpected. What we do know is that when we receive the Son, we get it all. And we'll be ready when it's time. Let's pray. Great and mighty God, you have made such a wonderful promise to us. And we thank you so very much. As we get ready to celebrate your birthday again this year, Lord, help us to remember that Christmas is coming. And you've invited us to be ready as we receive you into our lives. We thank you for that promise. Amen.